This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Lisa Brady. Child actors and now young influencers don't always have a voice behind the scenes. And one former child star turned advocate is trying to help change that. We spoke with Allison Stoner, perhaps best known from Disney's Camp Rock, who started acting, singing, and dancing in early childhood. Earlier this year, the Ohio native was at the State House as the Kidfluencer Protection Act was introduced by two Ohio legislators who argue social media is a big business that shouldn't be treated any differently when it comes to child labor. And while child actors on TV and movie sets, for instance, can be part of a union, social media is largely unregulated. We spoke with Stoner about blurred boundaries as home spaces have become sets, and family members or others often manage a child's public presence, and the need for protections on more traditional sets, too, to address what they call the toddler-to-train-wreck pipeline. We made some edits for time and thought you might want to hear the whole thing. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Fox News Rundown weekday podcast. Now here's Allison Stoner on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Hi, it's Lisa Brady. Thank you very, very much for doing this. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to jump right in with a bunch of questions. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
I know you've been advocating for protection of kids, not only in the kind of traditional performance mediums, TV shows, for instance, but also online. Now, before we get into some of those details, just in general, why is this necessary?
It's an excellent question, and I think something that the general public is not usually brought into in terms of what's happening behind the scenes. It's important to speak plainly that when children are filmed and content is released and someone else is making money, there are so many ways in which the child might be vulnerable to exploitation. And as well, when you're working in an industry at a young age, it's an adult-oriented environment. So it doesn't have protocols that are tailored to normal child development standards. So really, truly, every area of a child's life can be detrimentally disrupted by participating. However, the way we portray it publicly is by showcasing these aspirational lives of fame and wealth. In reality, that's very rarely a snapshot of what's actually happening. So I'm grateful that we can have conversations that are starting to look beyond the surface.
I think I read that you started performing around age 3. Is that right?
Correct. And I started performing locally at 3 and professionally at 7.
Is it your own experiences, what you've seen in the industry, you know, doing TV shows, making movies, is that what's driving you to try to make change? And we should probably incorporate the fact that, you know, there often are things that are designed to try to help kids on the set, people to guide them, educational things, for instance. But was it your experience that just isn't enough or wasn't handled the right way?
In addition to my own experience, which landed me in a hospital with my body shutting down due to being overworked, I've also taken it upon myself for the last 10 years to research with child development experts, trauma specialists, and other folks who understand industry protocol to see why is this, what I call the toddler to train wreck pipeline, still in place? Why is there a systemized downward spiral? Why are there repeated horror stories? And how come no one has examined what we can do better to change it? So unfortunately/fortunately, we're now jumping in to provide and create some of these vital resources for parents to understand the risks and consequences of getting into the industry, for productions to understand how to create a safer environment, and for the general public to understand what it means to have children represented in media.
Now, presumably, there are some existing laws that maybe aren't being followed appropriately, but in addition to that, I know you've been advocating for some new laws. You were at the Ohio State House earlier this year helping to introduce the Kidfluencer Protection Act, so kid influencers, vlogging about that as part of your Dear Hollywood series on YouTube. What would that bill do?
Yes, so similar to child actors having 15% of their earnings set aside in what we call the Coogan Fund, based on the Coogan Act, or Jackie Coogan's experience of having his funds mismanaged by a family and team. The digital influencers and kid performers in digital spaces would also have a portion of their earnings set aside and protected, so no one else can touch them until they're 18 and have control over that portion of their finances. It also would allow the children, upon turning 18, to reflect on all of the pieces of content that were shared with their name and likeness, and to request that they be taken down. You know, we have such intimate moments that we're sharing of our children, nephews, young people in our lives that may feel precious to us or adorable to watch or relatable. And yet this is a child who is not able to fully understand that millions of people might be watching an uncomfortable or embarrassing moment. And so this is helping restore a little bit of the child's autonomy. And still, even with the Coogan account and this proposed bill, we really still have to do so much more and so much better.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are some of the ways that children and what they post can be monetized, perhaps even without the child or the parents realizing it? And do you think that people have a misconception about the entertainment industry, and especially about just posting videos online, in terms of how dangerous it can be for children?
You know, there's a great book called Growing Up in Public by Devorah Heitner. And it talks about the new challenges that not only child performers are facing online, but really this can happen to your own child in terms of privacy and having the ability for strangers to message really inappropriate or harmful messages to them directly, ways that young people can be groomed based on what they see as receiving likes or positive feedback to continue on that path of self-expression, whether or not it's actually, you know, maybe a safe or healthy choice for them. And we also see ways that platforms, digital brand agents, companies, and families can be quietly or overtly monetizing the content through the platform itself, through paid partnerships, and also sometimes simply stealing footage of the child. And you may later see your child's face in a commercial and have no idea who, how, or why it got there. So, you know, there's some really fascinating research that talked about the likelihood of identity fraud leaping because of all of the articles, videos, photos that we've posted of the young people in our lives before the age of 5 years old. And it's something like a couple thousand photos are the average number of items that we can find on of a young person before they even turn 5 years old.
Wow. It's really jarring when you put it in terms like that. This all in addition, of course, to some of the more obvious dangers highlighted in a recent docuseries, Quiet on the Set, focusing on sexual abuse involving one TV network in particular, but there have been documentaries focusing on others. Having worked on many sets for TV and movies, does any of that surprise you, and what needs to change, in your view, in that space?
Right. So I have a number of friends who are in the docuseries, and while the allegations do not surprise me, these are things that, though I didn't know their personal stories in this way, we have heard about for years. I recognize that the industry has a uniquely, it's a uniquely harmful way of decentralizing the sense of responsibility for caring for the child. So on a given day, the child could be on set, and the assumption is someone else must be looking out for them. Maybe it's the parent. Well, parents are often removed from situations where they're trying to keep their child in their eyeline, but maybe they actually have a moment where they can't see them, which leaves the child vulnerable. Then we think, well, maybe it's the teacher who's doubling as the welfare worker, but the teacher is getting paid by the production company. So if they don't want to lose their job, they probably aren't going to want to report misconduct in the same way as if the child's well-being was their sole focus. And so then you've got folks who are wonderful and loving, caring, hopefully crew members who simply are not versed in what it means to interact with a child and create a child-friendly environment. So you have all of these ways that no one knows what's really happening to the child until later it shows up as illnesses or reckless behavior or a sense of isolation, and all these other clues that we tend to actually just place blame on them individually for instead of examining the ecosystem. So I, along with my team, are proposing several adjustments at each step of what we call the toddler to train wreck pipeline. Upon entering the industry, it would be wonderful, just like anyone joining any kind of job as an adult, to have some kind of onboarding manual. And I kid you not, that doesn't even exist yet. So we can not only speak to the industry practices they'll be experiencing with auditions and performing, but also well-being practices and red flags to look out for. Then on set, we need a third party whose sole job is to focus on the child's well-being. And frankly, the well-being of the cast and crew as well. I think all industries can likely improve in this area. Then when it comes to legislation, we need to not only create more protections for the children that reflect the latest research in trauma and child development and labor for children, but also ask ourselves deeper questions as a collective about why we're even portraying certain things with children in media anyway. And I'll give you a short anecdote of my own experience. You know, I was 7 years old reenacting scenarios in auditions that were often serious and even traumatizing. Situations like being kidnapped, dying of cancer, watching my parents get killed in front of me. And this is happening at a stage of development when I'm not able to differentiate fantasy and what's imagined from reality, nor had my brain even developed logical reasoning or a sense of my own identity. So we should ask ourselves, why are we having children enact these things in this way? And if we choose to do so, why is there no one, not a single person on set, who helped me safely get into, and even more importantly, out of character so that I didn't have the nightmares that followed?
Wow, you've really seen and been through so much in your professional life, you know, at such a young age. When you hear stories like that and you hear the physical ramifications of some of the things that you experienced, are you hoping to take the kinds of kid protection proposals that you helped introduce in Ohio to other states or even to Congress?
Absolutely. When it comes to child actors, there are still 17 states that do not have protections in place for them, the same way that, let's say, California has the Coogan accounts and other protocols. So there's a lot of work to be done for kids in entertainment and for kid influencers. This, sadly, we're proposing a bill that's only been passed in, I believe, one, if not two max, other states. So we've got a lot of work to catch up with the ramifications that are already unfolding. And in the meantime, what keeps me focused is knowing that there are hundreds of thousands of children everywhere right now across every single state who are vulnerable to, you know, these kinds of exploitation. So when we understand that the funnel has been widened and that this is not just a very small subgroup of children, which, you know, of course that would matter no matter what, it becomes even more pressing and something that I think generally the general public are simply not, you know, privy to behind the scenes. But as we eat, sleep, and breathe it every day, we know what the implications are for not having the protections in place. And I, for one, do not want to see more docuseries come out that we simply watch for entertainment without responding in some kind of action-oriented way.
What's your advice for parents of aspiring young entertainers or just parents of kids who, you know, post things online?
It's important to recognize that creativity and a desire to participate in the performing arts, those are wonderful things that we can celebrate and support. You can look at local theater programs. You can find all different outlets for creativity without having them participate in a commercial industry. The moment that the child's body becomes a product for corporate corporations to profit off of, everything gets very murky. There are legal issues. There are financial vulnerabilities. It's a lot messier and murkier than simply celebrating their desire to perform and express themselves. I encourage parents to look for local programs. And if the child is expressing continual interest, after they have a sense of their own identity developed, maybe around 16, maybe even 18, you can start exploring conversations of pursuing it professionally. When it comes to posting, I'm not sure I want to speak to that yet because I have less research around digital influencers, but I think Devorah's book is a great resource to look further into that.
Actor and advocate Allison Stoner, thank you very, very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.